Thanks for joining us for Wednesday's Chris Fabry Live. Great to have you with us at the Radio Backyard Fence. I have been waiting for this conversation, hoping that when it arrived, you and I would be helped by what our guest is about to reveal. Over the past several weeks, and really in the history of not just this program, but my stint in radio over the years and now decades, I've encountered some people with some really hard stories. And some of them dealt with the pain of the past, and they were able to not put it behind them or compartmentalize it as much as use it to move forward in their lives. That's how I would describe it. I think of Corrie Ten Boom and her life and what happened to her and her family at Ravensbrück. And that shaped who she was forever. That trauma that she experienced at the hands of the Nazis shaped her forever. But she didn't allow the pain and the struggle to hold her back. She, in a sense, dealt with that in a real way throughout her life and allowed it to propel her. A program we're going to do in a couple of days. J.T. Olson and his wife, Sarah, were with us. And J.T. was orphaned when he was a child. The trauma of losing your parents in an automobile accident and then going into bouncing around. And years later, some of the trauma surfaced in what he was dealing with. But he was able to use that bad thing that happened back there and deal with it in his life in such a way that it gave life to others. And you'll hear that story. If you didn't hear it before, you'll hear it this Friday. I have an email I want you to hear and a guest I want you to meet. So let's go. The website's chrisfabrylive.org. Our number, should you want to get in touch with us, is 877-548-3675. Gabby T will be answering your calls today. Nate McMillan's our producer. Ryan McConaughey is doing all things technical. Trish is our consulting producer. Here's a little bit of the email. Hi, Chris. I didn't know about Moody Radio. Every time I went to my local cleaners to pick up our dry cleaning, they had Moody Radio on. So after hearing it a few times, I asked them what station it was, and I'm so glad. I really enjoy listening during the day when I'm out. I stream it on my phone. I wanted to email you because although I've heard many awesome topics on your program, there's still one I haven't heard discussed. And it's important to me. What does a believer do to move on / forgive God / renew their relationship with God after experiencing a huge tragedy that was seemingly caused, quote unquote, by God? And then she proceeds to tell about her mother and how her mom, it's been 7 years now, March of 2010. And she talks about her mother and her mother's struggle with alcohol, and yet how sweet of a woman, how nice a woman, how much This person loved her mom. The tragic part of her passing, she writes, was how she passed. I was going to visit her after just having returned from a trip, and I walked through the door of our family home mudroom to find her laying on the floor of the laundry room. And as an alcoholic, mom was an alcoholic, you know, all of these ideas passed through her mind. As it turned out, it wasn't alcohol related. Her death wasn't. But she says, I got down on the floor and I started speaking to my mom. She didn't respond. I called 911. They had me administer CPR. And as she processed all this, it's been 7 years, she says, it wounded me deeply. And my only thought was, God, how could you do this to her? How could you leave her here on the floor of the laundry room? Why would you have me find her? And why would you make me suffer through this? And the email is a lot longer than that, but that's the main question. And in between the lines is, I think of this all the time. This scene comes up to me. This trauma comes up to me. It is triggered when I walk into a laundry room, perhaps, or the smell of laundry detergent or whatever it is. This comes back to me, and I want to move past this, but I don't know how to do it. So it's in that context that I saw a book called Reclaiming Sanity, Hope and Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Overwhelming Life Events by Dr. Laurel Shaler. It's our featured resource at chrisfabrylive.org. She is professor at Liberty University, a speaker on faith and emotional well-being, a national certified counselor and social worker, former psychotherapist for the Department of Veterans Affairs, where she specialized in treating trauma. So we can go the gamut in talking with her today. Dr. Shaler, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's a privilege.
What I just described to you, I'm sure you have heard in your counseling office and you have talked with others about time and time again, a traumatic event that happens back then and is still hanging around that I want to deal with. As a Christian, I want to deal with that. Is this a quote-unquote normal thing that many people are dealing with?
It's incredibly typical. First of all, I'm sorry for the pain that your listener who shared her story with you. Thank you for sharing your story with all of us. And I'm sorry for what you've experienced. And I just want to say that she's not alone. It's very common for people to experience traumatic events. Out of those that do experience trauma, only about 10% go on to develop a post-traumatic stress disorder. But for everyone else, even if they don't meet that clinical diagnosis, they still oftentimes find themselves struggling, just as this listener is.
I remember hearing, it was a contemporary Christian music artist talking about walking in and finding his father who had committed suicide. This is when the boy was about 10 years old. And he said, my counselor told me through the years, this is going to take you 40 years. You're going to have to work on this for a long, long time. And it was 40 years, you know, hence that he started talking about how right his counselor was. That's one of the questions many people have. How long does it take? Does it take that long?
Well, I would say that there is no set amount of time. Just like there's no set amount of time to grieve, there's no set amount of time to recover from trauma. So everyone's experiences are different. In fact, most people who do experience trauma recover naturally. That doesn't mean that they don't have any symptoms after they experience trauma, but that their body is able to recover from that trauma. Their mind is able to recover. But for many people, that doesn't happen, and they're still having some suffering as a result. So that's something to be aware of, is that for everyone, it's just different.
Yes. And I think it was a gift that she was able to see this, because many people have these kinds of things that are kind of, you know, hanging around their lives, and they just tried to move on. Let's forget about the past and move forward. But she knows, I'm still thinking about this. I'm still struggling. So in one sense, that's a gift, isn't it?
I agree completely. That takes a lot of insight to recognize, hey, I'm struggling, and maybe it's because of this experience that I've had, because I've worked with many clients who have spent years or decades just trying to brush it all under the rug. And in particular for the Christian who believes that they can't admit that they're struggling or suffering for fear that others will think that their faith is weak, they need to know that just because you're suffering does not mean that your faith is weak. You can experience true hope and true healing, and yes, through our source of Jesus Christ, and through the mental health professionals that he has provided the skills to be able to assist you with your struggles.
Yes. You say that your suffering is real, you're not going crazy, nor are you beyond hope. In fact, your restoration, emotional, spiritual, and physical, can begin right now. And you do not speak with us about this. Dr. Shaler does not speak about this topic from the ivory tower. She's experienced it. We'll hear more about that straight ahead. Reclaiming Sanity is our featured resource. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you can find out more. chrisfabrylive.org. Ever feel like you're working your fingers to the bone for God and getting nowhere? Hudson Taylor knew that feeling. He ran himself ragged, but despite his accomplishments, he felt empty and exhausted until he learned a secret. The details of that are found in the inspiring biography, Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. Become a backfence friend. Contact us today with a gift of any amount and request Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. Call 1-866-95-FABRY or go to chrisfabrylive.org. Something happened to you long ago that is still bothering you, some trauma, some life event, some relationship break, perhaps, and you wake up in the middle of the night and you feel afraid. You can't get to sleep, at least not without the lights on. You startle easily and you can't shake the feeling that something bad is going to happen. Or you worry, or you're sad, or you feel guilty, or you get so angry that you can't think straight, and you ask the question, am I going crazy? Does that sound like what's going on in your life, or has happened in your life, or maybe somebody you know? Dr. Laurel Shaler is with us today. Reclaiming Sanity is our featured resource, hope and healing for trauma, stress, and overwhelming life events. As I mentioned before the break, she does not come to this subject simply from a clinical perspective. This was a living, breathing reality, as Attica said. A living, breathing reality in your life, Dr. Shaler. So take us into that. What happened?
Yes. So I came to this through personal experience. And when I was 18 years old, I was shocked to discover that I had a 14-pound ovarian cyst. That takes a moment to sink into your brain because it's so unusual. And I always get tickled when people say to me, oh, that's like having a baby. And my response, of course, is, well, that's like having twins. Who has a 14-pound baby? So I had this experience of being 18, sitting in the doctor's office, you know, holding my mama's hand, tears streaming down our faces, and the doctor saying, if you don't have surgery, you will die. That was a lot to absorb at any age, but in particular, as somebody who was just finishing up my freshman year of college and was looking forward to life ahead of me. And life ahead of me didn't have anything to do with mental health or emotional well-being. I had no interest in that type of work at that point. But I went through this experience of having this surgery, this life-saving surgery, that brought to my awareness the suffering that can happen when you've been through something traumatic. And of course, at the time, I couldn't put any words to it. I didn't know what was going on, but I often thought to myself, I just must be going crazy. Anytime I was feeling overly worried because I had some little pain or tingle or twitch in my body and thinking, what if this is it? What if this is the time that I'm not going to survive, that they're not going to catch it in time? I'm not going to be healed. And so I just started to experience this kind of rumination or almost obsessive thinking that every little pain was going to mean the death of me, literally. And that was a tough experience to go through and to have trouble sleeping because you're thinking of these thoughts or to have trouble eating or having some irritability or just feeling stressed because of these experiences that you're facing. And it was through that experience that kind of led me down this path of realizing that maybe I'm not the only one that struggles or suffers. I didn't even know at the time to even consider seeking a counselor's help. I didn't even realize it was related to emotional well-being or that it was related to what I had been through. And so through this experience of learning, I've connected these dots. And now I want to be able to help other women who have been through a wide variety of traumatic events or stressful experiences or who just feel overwhelmed by life.
Take me back to when you were 18, though. Did the doctors, they saw this as a tumor and something that was going on physically. Did the doctors or your parents or anybody in the sphere of influence there with you, did any of them say, we got to get Laurel some help in dealing with this emotionally and what she's going through?
Well, the reality is that I hid it. I kept it inside. I thought, well, I should be grateful. And on one hand, I was so incredibly grateful to the Lord. He gave me this new lease on life, this second chance. I was so, so thankful. But it was this other hand that was bothering me, so to speak. I was at the same time experiencing the worry and the stress and the concern. And I really kept it to myself. I never approached anyone about this. And I want to help people take off those masks, take off those layers of hiding behind the, no, I'm fine. You know, we're so accustomed. I'm from the South, and we're so accustomed when somebody says, how are you doing? We just say, I'm fine. And sometimes we're not fine, and we have to be okay with not being okay. So I want to help women acknowledge that and not be ashamed or afraid to admit that they're suffering.
What you've just said has been borne out in my experience with programs like this, where people will call, and I'll get calls particularly from women who are in their 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s, who will say, right, you know, reveal this thing that happened, sexual abuse or some kind of a trauma, right, or rape or whatever it was way back when, and 50, 60, 70 years ago. And then I'll ask, who have you talked with about this? And they will say, not everybody, but many will say, this is the first time I've told anybody. My husband never knew this,
right,
and he's passed, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that people will, women will, men will internalize this and just not want to talk about it, keep it down. Why do we do that? Why don't we talk about it with other people?
Well, I think, first of all, I've heard that so many times myself as a therapist, so many people who have shared with me that I was the only one, the first one they had ever revealed their trauma to, whether it was an abortion, whether it was sexual assault, physical abuse, whatever the case may be. But even when the situation isn't maybe traumatic by clinical definition, or maybe they haven't developed PTSD, they're still suffering because of something that's gone on in their life. And I think there's a number of reasons why we are afraid to reveal it. I think that there is this layer of shame. And in particular, going back to that idea of being a Christian, I should be, you know, if I've experienced something rough in the past, I should be thankful that God protected me and that I'm not in that situation anymore, or that he saved my life, or that I've been forgiven from a past sin. And we think that so much that way that it's hard for us to simultaneously say, but I'm still struggling right now because of what I experienced in the past. And that's a part of what I want to help women be able to reveal to themselves, first of all, because I believe that we even keep it hidden from ourselves. And it's not to say that they have to get on social media or get in front of their church and tell everyone that they're struggling, but that they're able to admit to confidential sources, you know, to their spouses, to their close friends, to a counselor, to their pastor, that they're suffering and that they need some help. So to be able to say, you know, I'm trusting the Lord with this. I'm, you know, I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm in Bible study. I'm worshiping, and I'm still suffering. So
yes,
what more can I do? How can I use my faith as a strength to help me find the healing that I need? And that's what I do in Reclaiming Sanity. I try to provide both clinical insights and activities that I've used in my own practice that have been helpful to many different clients, while at the same time integrating those biblical truths that we need to cling to during the difficult times.
Isn't part of the struggle, though, Dr. Taylor, that as a believer, as a Christian, I want my life to come, you know, to come out roses, for God to get the glory. And so I write the story the way that I think it ought to go. And when it doesn't turn out that way, when God doesn't do the healing in me or the way that I think it ought to be, then I see this dissonance between what I'm experiencing and what I want, or what I think God ought to give me. And so therefore I go further into myself, and I think that God is not hearing, he's not answering my prayers, and you kind of go on this downward spiral.
Right, right. I think that's true. And the first person that comes to my mind is Paul. And we think of Paul asking God three times to remove the thorn from his flesh, and his response that he received each time from God was that it was not going to be removed. But that did not stop Paul from being joyful and from, which is different from happiness. It's so important that we understand that those are two different things. It didn't stop him from being content in all circumstances, and it didn't stop him from living out the life that God called him to. That doesn't mean that it's the life that he wanted or the life that he would have chosen, but that he recognized that he could still be used by God and that God could get the glory in spite of him and his life. And I think it's the same for us. You're right. We want the story to go how we want it to go. I would have written a different story for my life, but I can say, thank God I didn't have that opportunity, because I feel like my life is exactly how God wanted it to be and that he is able to get the glory. And I'll take the suffering. I think of the verse from Psalm 35, you know, suffering endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, this is all temporary. In the end, we're promised that one day there will be no more tears, there will be no more sorrow and no more pain. And I think back to the woman who wrote into you that, you know, I don't think that God, you know, when we say God caused us to suffer, he allows us to suffer. He allowed Job to suffer, but that doesn't mean that he's any less good or that he gets any less glory, that we're able to point to him as our source of our strength and our hope. And it also doesn't mean that we won't suffer, because Jesus said that in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So we're promised suffering. Yeah. But what can we do when we're suffering? That doesn't mean that we have to, you know, struggle with this anxiety or struggle with the depression or struggle with the anger or the sleepless nights. There are remedies for that. And that's what I want to share with as many women as possible.
Let me ask it a little different way. A bad thing happened. I'm struggling with it. It's been years. I'm a Christian. God, I ought to be past this, and I'm not, and therefore I'm bad, and I'm not following God's. In other words, the struggle that you have with, you know, whatever the symptom is that you're still dealing with this thing, a lot of times we beat ourselves up because of that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that it's God doing that, but we beat ourselves. I should be further along. Why aren't I over this? There's so many people who are asking that question.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of folks come to that point of how is it that it's been all these years or decades and this is still impacting me? And I think the reality is, you know, when we've been through something really tough, life does change. And it's not to say that it's going to be exactly as it was before. You're going to be forever impacted if you've had sexual trauma in your past, or if you've had an abortion, or if you've been to combat. But that doesn't mean that we can't heal from those experiences and not suffer in the same way. I never, as a therapist, I would never promise someone that they're going to experience no more suffering, that they can be completely free from every negative symptom that they experienced before. But I can say that they can experience a reduction in the negative symptoms that they're experiencing. And I think for a lot of folks, we discount the benefit of mental health counseling. And there are so many excellent counselors who will integrate the Christian faith into their treatment. I always recommend the American Association of Christian Counselors. Their website has a tool that you can utilize to look up a Christian counselor in your specific area so that you can seek out that biblically based professional counselor that can help you to work through some of these struggles that you're facing.
But what you've written here is such a good primer for that. If maybe you've been to counseling for years, or you've never because you've been scared or the cost or whatever it is, you know, your spouse says, no, we can handle this ourselves. This resource, Reclaiming Sanity, as I've gone through it, is one of those that really helps you ask some very good questions. I think that's the hallmark of a good pastor or a good counselor is a person who can ask the right questions, not necessarily give you all the answers to those
right.
questions. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take your calls, 877-548-3675. I want to revisit my friend who found her mother's body on the floor who gave her CPR. I want to tell you one of the things that came to mind as we were having the conversation by email back and forth. I want to see what you have to say about that, Dr. Shaler. And then we'll take your situation and what, you know, is there something that you're going through today that you have said, I shouldn't be going through this. I shouldn't have these symptoms. I shouldn't be struggling with that thing that happened back there. But here I am today, and you're listening to the radio, and this is you. 877-548-3675 is our number. 1-877-548-3675. Our featured resource at Chris Fabry Live is Reclaiming Sanity, Hope and Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Overwhelming Life Events. And you may be saying, you know, I deal with this thing, but it wasn't anything like PTSD from combat, or it wasn't sexual abuse. And you can diminish that. You can put that on the back burner. Don't do that. Let's deal with what is, so that you can be all that God wants you to be today and tomorrow and move forward in freedom rather than being shackled by the stuff that happened back there. So if you're game for that, stay with us. This is Chris Fabry Live on Moody Radio. Our guest today says women everywhere are suffering from various tragic life events. And it's easy to think that you're going crazy. It's easy to think that there's no hope for you. But she says, you're not beyond hope. And that's why she's written Reclaiming Sanity, Hope and Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Overwhelming Life Events. We'll go to your calls here in just a moment. And our featured resource at the website is Reclaiming Sanity. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. You've said in the last segment, and I just said it as well, women. You have written mainly to women. I think men are going to get a lot out of our conversation and the book, but why women specifically?
Well, thanks for the question. And I'll say that, yes, I also believe that men can get a lot out of this book. And I used to work with a lot of male combat veterans, so I've had lots of experience in working with men who've experienced trauma. And I have a dear friend who is himself a combat veteran, and he read the book and has shared as well that he received a lot out of it as well. But the main reason I wanted to speak specifically to women is because of this mask that I have found that women have put on, and I felt like I was able to address some issues that women experience in a little bit of a different way. For example, I write a lot about anger in this book, and the frustration and irritability and how women channel anger looks a bit different than how men channel anger and how that comes out. So I wanted to be able to really target women, but by all means, I encourage men to read the book as well, and hopefully it will be helpful to them.
Just to answer that question about the difference between anger and men and women. Are more passive-aggressive one sex over the other? I think of men as being more, anger is just right there. It's on the face. It's in everything that they do, you know. And in women, maybe it's more below the surface. Is that true?
I would agree with you. I think you've hit the nail on the head with the passive aggressive versus the aggressiveness. And it's not to say that women won't sometimes let things build and build and build and then explode. And it's not to say that some women aren't more vocal in letting their frustrations come out. But I also think that sometimes they're more likely to keep that hidden and, you know, talk about the good Southern Christian woman who doesn't want to let anybody at church know that she gets mad and yells at her kids. So I think that that's one prime difference.
Let me close the loop then on our emailer, and then we'll go to your calls, 877-548-3675. When she wrote and she explained this, really part of her struggle is, I'm mad at God. He allowed this to happen in my life and caused me to be the one to find her on the floor. And so we went back a couple of times. And one of the things that I picked up was her love for her mom. Her mom had been been an alcoholic. She'd had a rough life, but she saw her mom as this sweet woman that she loved, and she misses her. It's been 7 years. And so her question was, how could you, God? And one of my responses back to her, not immediately, but one of my responses was, have you considered that God allowed you to be the first one to find her because you loved her so much that he allowed you this opportunity to minister her even though she was gone? There was no possibility of her being revived because she'd passed away too long, that God gave you that moment of the last time that you could do something for her. And her response to that was, I never thought of it, you know, reframed in that way. Now, maybe that, you know, from a counselor's perspective, you wouldn't say that's a good idea, but it was one of the ideas that I had when I first read, you know, the situation. What do you think about that?
Well, I love you use the word reframe, and counselors use that term a lot. Like, how can we reframe things? And we don't ever want to reframe something that goes beyond, you know, the truth, or, you know, that goes beyond scripture. But I would agree with you that we have to look at you know, how did God orchestrate this? I think of Dr. Everett Worthington. He's a well-known positive psychologist, and his story was that his mother was brutally murdered, and his brother is the one that found her. And, you know, they just had trauma on top of trauma in the family, and he focuses on forgiveness and how can we forgive people? How can we, you know, if we're saying that we believe in forgiveness, are we going to put that to practice when push comes to shove? And when we're faced with that really challenging experience in life, can we actually forgive? And in this case, the listener may be struggling with forgiving God. And is it possible for her to forgive him for what she believes that he has allowed? And I write in the book about how nothing that we experience from others can compare to how we grieve God when we sin, and that he so graciously forgives us. Are we able to put into practice what Jesus says, to continue to forgive, stop counting the grievances and continue to forgive? Because when we don't forgive, it's like holding our own heads underwater. So we should consider what forgiveness can do for us, and the fact that God commands it in his word.
Yes. Yeah, and taking the, you know, setting out poison and eating it yourself, and all those metaphors, I so agree. And yet I think there's a disconnect in what real forgiveness is on behalf of someone who has done a heinous thing or something. We talked about this with Wilma Dirksen a few months ago, and her daughter was brutally murdered, and then they finally, years later, found the perpetrator of this, and the steps that she had to go through. It's bearing out exactly what you've said is what happened in her life, and she was holding her own head underwater. So let me give you an opportunity to talk with Dr. Shaler. Amanda is in Florida. Amanda, go right ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I first want to say that God is so good. I left work feeling a little trauma, a little stressed. This week has been especially difficult. I turn on Moody Radio, and it's about exactly what I need. So thank you. Thank God.
I'm glad to hear that, Amanda. So at what point then you say you're having these situations kind of bubble up? How can we help you?
So I'm reaching out to ask what advice you might be able to suggest to me for dealing with trauma. Specifically, what's been happening lately is that I'm feeling as if maybe something traumatic is going to happen to me. That's the first part of two things that have been going on. Any suggestions or tips would be appreciated.
Was there something that happened, though, that kind of triggered that feeling that you can tell us about?
About 4 years ago, my husband was killed unexpectedly. So that's where the trauma began.
Got it. Mm. All right. Dr. Shaler, what do you say?
Yeah, well, I'm so sorry to hear that. I know that that had to have been extremely difficult, and that you're still suffering and struggling as a result of that. And I want you to know that it's not uncommon when you've experienced something really tragic to have this sense that something something else bad is going to happen. So I want to just reassure you that that feeling that you're having is not abnormal, but it doesn't mean that something bad is going to happen to you. We just sometimes it impacts us in that way. Trauma impacts us in that way. I'm wondering if you have been able to seek out any grief counseling for yourself, if you've had the opportunity to do that, because I think that that might really be helpful to you.
I have. And I got to a point where the waves of grief and the complication of the trauma, the divorce, the death, you know, the family future had become far enough apart that I could deal with all the tools I had gained and books I've read and yoga and prayer and church and support. But perhaps it's time to revisit a counselor.
Yeah, and I think specifically I don't know your specific circumstances and if you meet the criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder, but I can tell you that there is really excellent treatment for PTSD, and a part of what that treatment explores is these thoughts that come into our mind that, oh, something bad is going to happen to me. So I think that it could be that that's something that could be helpful to you.
Amanda, if you'll hang on, I'll have Nate get your information. We'll send you a copy of Dr. Shaler's book, Reclaiming Sanity. You can find it at chrisfabrylive.org. How do you know, Dr. Shaler, before we take a break here, how do you know if you have PTSD? Is there, you know, can they do a blood test now? Or do you 1 to 10, these 50 questions? What's the process to find out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, unfortunately, we don't have any tests that can tell us if somebody has PTSD, but we use a book called the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. And so you have to be a licensed qualified mental health professional to make that diagnosis, and you look at very specific symptoms. The first criteria is that you have to have been exposed to a traumatic event such as an assault. And beyond that, you would have to have very specific symptoms. Some of those could mean nightmares, trouble with sleep, anger, or even negative thoughts such as something bad is going to happen to me.
Well, the book is Reclaiming Sanity. It's our featured resource at chrisfabrylive.org. The subtitle, Hope and Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Overwhelming Life Events. Dr. Laurel Shaler, Shaler, is a professor at Liberty University and a speaker on faith and emotional well-being. And our final segment's coming up here on Chris Fabry Live and Moody Radio. When we hear from hurting listeners at Chris Fabry Live, friends call from around the country. Tell Bill I'm praying for him. Tell Mary I'm so sorry she's going through this. I'm lifting her up. So thank you for your prayers. And if you want to become a Backfence partner with us, we'd love to have you go online or call us. A Backfence partner gives each month and receives some exclusive resources. So call to find out more, 1-866-95-FABRY, or go to chrisfabrylive.org to become a Backfence partner. We talked about vacation theology a couple of days ago, and tomorrow and Friday, I'm on vacation. Be back with you on Monday. Great conversation with Gary Thomas tomorrow about how to, one word that will change your marriage. You got to listen tomorrow to Gary Thomas talk about that. And then the story of JT and Sarah Olson on Friday, some best of broadcasts. Today, Dr. Laurel Shaler is with us. Reclaiming Sanity is our featured resource. Limited time here, but let me go to Tennessee. Carrie is on the line. Hi, Carrie. Go right ahead.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. I guess, you know, I have experienced my own string of traumas from the time I was very young. Came out of a very perfect, quote-unquote, family, and then found out that the real world wasn't so nice. A couple of abusive marriages, raised two daughters myself, and have gone through a lot of counseling and felt that I've had a lot of healing, but I continue to deal with just feeling insignificant when I know that I am significant in Christ. So I guess my question is, how do we really claim those promises of our identity in Christ and fight those strongholds that want to come back and make us feel that we aren't significant or that we don't matter, when I know the truth is that we do and we have purpose. So I struggle with that.
Oh, that's Carrie, thank you for that question. Dr. Shaler?
Yes, Carrie, thank you so much for calling and for your question. I sat with a woman last week whose story was almost identical to yours. So just know that you're not alone in these experiences. One of my favorite chapters in the book is chapter 12, Knowing Who You Really Are. And I write about the truth from God's Word. And I know that you know these things, these truths from Ephesians that tell us that God loves us, that He chose us, that we're forgiven, that we're His workmanship. And what I think of when I get the question, how can I really take these things to heart and mind? I know them, but how can I really allow these truths to permeate my heart? I think it's a constant reminding ourselves daily. Every time those negative thoughts creep into our minds, it's refuting those with the Word of God. And it's sometimes it's not just thinking them in our minds, but sometimes it's shouting them out loud. No, I am not stupid. I am God's workmanship. No, I am not unloved or unwanted. I am a friend of Jesus. No, I do not deserve to be abused. I am a temple of God. And it's reminding ourselves day in and day out, sometimes moment by moment, of these truths from the Word of God. So, Carrie, thank you so much for your call and for your testimony to how Jesus can provide hope and healing in our lives if we let Him.
Mm. Carrie, thank you. I want to go to a man who is in the service who suffered from PTSD. Ron's in Chattanooga. Ron, what do you have to say about our program today?
Well, it's very important to me. I've lived through this. I was diagnosed with PTSD 10 years ago. I suffered through a 7-year-long marriage, and I've been in the hospital and taken the medications, gone through counseling, but the realization I made was I saw God how He sees me, and I started seeing myself. God loves me regardless of my sin, in spite of my sin. And so I'm no better than He is, so I started looking at myself the same way. And Psalms 34:4, I sought the Lord, He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So I keep seeking the Lord, keep seeking how He sees me, and I try to see myself the same way, and I can work on my sins.
How long has it been then since you got help, Ron, and how are you doing now?
5 years ago, I made a turn for the better. I started loving myself. I've been happy with myself. I'm in a happy marriage. I'm glad it happened to me, so I would have never been as happy as I am now. Through all the trauma I've gone through with 23 years in the Marines and several tours of combat and bad marriage, but I came to the conclusion I was hating myself and I couldn't forgive myself. So once I see myself as God sees me, in spite of my sin, I can work on my sins.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad you got through, Ron.
That's the turning point.
And I'm glad for this change and the mindset and, you know, everything that you've been through. And I've got some other people here on the line that really want to talk today, but I wanted to hear somebody who'd been through that. Dr. Shaler, you talk with men like Ron and have counseled them through the years. What do you say?
Well, yes. First of all, Ron, thank you so much for your service for our country. Thank you to all of our service members, past and present. I am a military wife. I spent 8 years working with the Department of Veterans Affairs. I've worked with hundreds of veterans, and they are near and dear to my heart. And so many of them have had that same experience of suffering for a very long time. And for many of them, coming to that same conclusion that Ron shared about, that he is worthy of forgiveness and that he is loved by God regardless of what he had to do as a part of his military experience. So he's not alone in that. And I pray that other combat veterans who have heard Ron, that they will have some hope and that they will know that they can experience that same freedom.
Yeah. In Reclaiming Sanity, you're dealing mainly with women, but I have a call on the line. We don't have time to be fair to her, but she says that my husband is endured trauma and I can see the struggle that he's going through and I want to help him and I don't know what to do. So if there's a spouse of someone listening who, you know, their spouse is going through this and you can see it, but they can't, is there anything you can do?
Well, I believe that there is, and in fact, I devoted a chapter to that. So I appreciate that call. Chapter 17, Throw Out a Lifeline, Helping Trauma Survivors. So that book is specifically written to anyone who has a loved one who is suffering as a result of trauma, stress, or overwhelming life events, so that they can learn how they can best help their loved one who is struggling.
Hmm. Bottom line, there's hope. If you're struggling, if you didn't sleep last night, if you have these recurring thoughts, if the dread is there, and we can go on and list these, Dr. Shaler, but you really believe there's hope, not just because, you know, counselors are there and people can help, but God is there as well, right?
Absolutely. He really is the source of our hope and healing. So we want to rely on him and his word and his promises and those professionals that he has given the heart, the compassion to help other people.
Dr. Shaler, thank you for coming alongside us here today. It's just kind of we've touched the tip of the iceberg. You know, we just scratched the surface of what you've written about. But I thank you for your service and for what you've been doing a number of years. And I'm praying that this will be one of those resources that will really help people see the truth about themselves and about who God is, and that there is hope. So thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Laurel Shaler is a professor at Liberty University, speaker on faith and emotional well-being, the author of Reclaiming Sanity, Hope and Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Overwhelming Life Events. And one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation is because I've heard from so many of you over the last few years that this thing is nagging me back here. And this is one of those resources that I found that I said, yeah, it's going to help somebody. So I hope it does. And hope you come on back tomorrow for a best of broadcast of Chris Fabry Live. Online at chrisfabrylive.org. Our program's a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Global Ministries. Thanks a lot for listening.